Wessels John, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. October 5th, 1898. Brother John Wessels, I received your letter, and thank you for writing. The Lord God in whom we trust will open ways before us. I wish to speak to your brothers. I have used the £1,000 loaned me for the school as a faithful steward, and I ask you, the sons for whom this means is requested at this time. Will you not each make a Christmas offering of this means to the Lord, and lay up treasure in heaven? Some things have been presented to me, which I will present to you. I was in a house that was being built and prepared for one of the sons of Sister Wessels. I saw the artist picturing the walls and expending his skill in beautifying them. There was a watcher looking on, who held in his hand an open book. He asked what was the outlay of money for this elaborate work. The price was given him, and he wrote it in the book. He then turned to the one for whom all this was designed and said, "Young man, I have prepared a place for you, and soon I am coming to take those who believe in me to be with me where I am. I have bought you with a price, even the price of my blood. I have given my life for you, that you might inherit eternal life, that you might dwell in the everlasting mansions in my kingdom. The talent of means was entrusted to you that you might win souls back to God. But instead of this, you have used it to glorify self. Thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Isaiah 57, verse 15. Then, as he saw several examining the paintings and remarking upon their beauty, he said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. The wise men discerned Christ as foretold in prophecy, and they were guided by the star to the infant Savior. There they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2, verse 11. These men, whatever their rank and position in the world, were wise men. They were the first fruits of the Gentile world. They came to the brightness of the bright and morning star and bowed themselves before him. They acknowledged him as Prince of Heaven, presenting him with the choicest of their entrusted goods. The prophet Isaiah had declared that this would be, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Isaiah 60, verse 1-3. Similar results will ever follow the manifestation of Christ to the soul of the believer. You have no time now to lose. You have but little time in which to obtain an experience in deep and unfeigned humility of spirit. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ calls upon you to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He wants you to respond to the drawing of Christ. Had you as a family been converted to God, soul, mind, and strength, the means which has flowed forth in unnecessary channels, for self-gratification, which has done your souls only harm, would have been invested in the upbuilding of the cause of God. But instead of this, that which your hands have handled of your Lord's goods has been worse than lost. You must render an account to God for the goods entrusted to your stewardship. How much hindrance this means has been to the spiritual advancement of the members of Sister Wessel's family, eternity alone will reveal. Every member of the family should have taken these things into account, and, in the place of expending money in selfish indulgences, have rendered to the Lord his own. The Lord of glory stepped down from his throne, laid aside his kingly crown, his royal robe, and clothed his divinity with humanity, that humanity might touch humanity, that humanity might lay hold of divinity. Look at Christ's life, and make it your study. For your soul's sake, study the character of Christ. For our sakes, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. This condescension on the part of Christ was in the plan to redeem and restore the moral image of God in man, and to leave an example of self-denial and self-sacrifice, that the poor might not be despised on account of their poverty, and that the rich might know that earthly wealth will never secure to any soul eternal riches and an immortal inheritance in the kingdom of God. It is not yet too late for you to change your relationship with God. You have not a saving faith. You have but a faint sense of your accountability to God. His claims may be ignored by some of you, but this will not cancel your debt to the Master. He will hold his claims against every soul who does not repent and believe in him and give to him his rightful due. While seeking to understand the requirements of God, you will not be ashamed to confess your belief in Christ before men. You will not selfishly spend his goods to please your own fancies. You will consider your Savior's self-denial and self-sacrifice in your behalf, that you might not perish in your disloyalty to God, but repent and be converted. Who will be able to behold the scars of his humiliation, the sign of the affliction and suffering he endured, that he might win man back to his loyalty to God? All the scars in his hands will be as bright beams to add to the beauty and luster of the glorified body in which he arose, and in which he ascended as the exalted King of all humanity. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. All who have a deep and living experience will understand the import of these words. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verses 14, 16. Christ said to his disciples, "He that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9, verse 23. Those who drink of the cup of Christ's sufferings must meet the temptations Christ met and overcome in his name. And every trial endured will add to the weight of their eternal glory. Every faithful discharge of duty, every act of charity in the name of Christ, every word of encouragement and consolation spoken will bring to them according to their works. They will soon be acknowledged before the assembled universe as co-laborers with Christ to save a perishing world. I call upon every son and daughter of Sister Wessel's to seriously consider. We have no time to lose. We are to form characters that will stand the test of the judgment. Satan is playing the game of life for your souls. I have a strong desire to see you less anxious for appearance, for outward show and display, for this is not in your favor. Consider what charity means from the Bible standpoint. Build upon the rock, the eternal rock. Remember that Christ, the world's Redeemer, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. In his manhood, he made himself servant of all. Because you have plenty of money to handle, you are not to look upon earnest service as something of which you need to be ashamed. Christ worked at the carpenter's trade and helped to support the family, and in this he has forever set to his seal that work is a blessing. Useful employment of all the physical powers is essential for health. It is honorable, praiseworthy, approved, and blessed of God. To every man God has given his work. No one is to be idle, for this invites the enemy to tempt you. The Lord has given to everyone his work. He has given Philip Wessels a work to do. It is to receive the word as the voice of God, to humble his heart before God, to control his prejudices, his temper, and to overcome the selfishness that has marred his character.